like to do a song for you now that I wrote. This is a song that I had out a few months back, and hope maybe you might enjoy this one. In everybody's life, there's a special person, a person that you love more than you love anybody else. This is a song about that special person in my life. It's called I Will Always Love You.
Welcome to AM 1575 News, the news bulletin of France 24 and Radio Centrale Milan for Wednesday, August 26, 2026, in podcasting, on the medium waves and on franciaghi.com, in the newsroom in Nice Marco Hugo Barsotti, from Paris Rachel Costa. Country singer Dolly Parton disappears. Dolly Parton died yesterday, August 25. At age 80 in her beloved Tennessee. With her, one of the greatest and most recognizable figures of American music disappears. Singer, songwriter, actress, entrepreneur, and philanthropist, able to span more than 60 years of popular culture without ever abandoning her roots. She was born on January 19, 1946 in Locust Ridge, East Tennessee, fourth of 12 children, in a very poor family that lived in a small house in the Smoky Mountains. AP News, the Tennessee was not only the place of her birth, it was the raw material of her music. Her father Lee worked the land and raised livestock, while her mother passed on the love for ballads and singing. Dolly began writing songs as a child and performing at a very young age. At 13, she was already on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, and in 1964, just after finishing high school, she left for Nashville with a cardboard suitcase to chase her dream. One could say her father raised cows and Dolly raised songs. She would write more than 3,000, turning memories, pains, loves, and everyday people's stories into music, PBS. Success came in Nashville, first alongside Porter Wagoner, and then as a solo artist. Among her most famous songs are Jolene, the dramatic plea to the woman who might take away her beloved man, coat of many colors, inspired by the poverty of her childhood. 9 to 5, which became an anthem of working women. Here You Come Again, which finally brought her into pop, and Wylands in the Stream, the great duet with Kenny Rogers, and of course, I Will Always Love You, written by Dolly in 1973 as a professional goodbye to Wagoner, a song already huge in its original version, later transformed by Whitney Houston into a worldwide phenomenon, Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum, but reducing Dolly Parton to her records would be impossible. She was an actress, with films such as 9 to 5 and Steel Magnolias, a producer, businesswoman, and creator of Dollywood, the large theme park in Tennessee. And above all, she was an extraordinary philanthropist. With the Imagination Library, she provided books for free to millions of children, always maintaining a deep connection with the land and the community from which she originated. Her journey, from a very poor Appalachian child to one of the most beloved artists on the planet, is one of the most remarkable American stories of uplift. The Guardian, Dolly Parton, therefore leaves much more than a discography. She leaves a way of telling America with irony, sweetness, stubbornness, and an almost infinite ability to turn life into a song. Jolene, coat of many colors, coat of many colors. 9 to 5, to Here You Come Again. Islands in the Stream, and especially Why Will Always Love You, will continue to live far beyond her voice. And perhaps the best phrase to remember her is the one that tells of her origins. She came from the mountains of Tennessee, from a family that raised livestock. She, instead, spent her whole life raising songs. Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum.
Of the way, and I will always love you. I will always love you. Bittersweet memories, that's all. 'cause we both know that I'm not what you so much. We'll be right back after this commercial. Thank you.
News from France, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, and Poland. Project for a six-state federation with a single capital. In his manifesto for another France, former economy minister Bruno Le Maire proposes the creation of a federation that unites France, Germany, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, and Poland. The six countries would retain national sovereignty, but would operate as a single state in strategic sectors such as artificial intelligence, semiconductors, financial markets, economic policies, and border management. The federation would retain its own constitution, common decision rules, and a democratically chosen capital, while still remaining a member of the 27-nation European Union. Le Maire believes that France, with an average growth of 1% per year, an unemployment rate near 8%, and uncontrolled public debt, is too small to influence the global landscape. Conversely, the European Union, in his view, has become too cumbersome, with a monstrous and technocratic commission that cannot ensure a coherent and swift political order. Hence the idea of a fusion of states that, while keeping their own identity, share resources in areas deemed fundamental for European competitiveness. The project also envisages the Federation becoming the true political gravitas of Europe, capable of imposing its choices on the other 21 member states. It is a model open to possible future accession, but for now rests on a hard core of six economies. In recent months, the minister has already promoted the idea of a Europe of six, inspired by earlier German reflections of 1994, and has supported the creation of an informal council of finance ministers of the involved countries to accelerate decisions on defense, supply chains, and the international role of the euro. Among concrete measures, Le Maire intends to introduce duties on high carbon intensity or subsidized products, apply a 30% tariff on technological devices that do not meet a minimum quota of European components, and facilitate industrial mergers to create champions in the sectors of semiconductors, data, and space communications. He also proposes the construction of a large European infrastructure for data storage and processing, as well as a low-orbit satellite constellation to guarantee independence from systems like Starlink. These initiatives are linked to Le Maire's role as special advisor at ASML, the leading manufacturer of semiconductor equipment. The minister justifies the urgency of strengthened integration with the perception of a retreat of the United States, the persistent Russian threat, and Chinese subsidy and dumping practices. The Federation should therefore equip itself with sufficient industrial, technological, financial, and military capabilities to resist external pressures. Establishing new collaborations with India, Canada, and some African countries in the field of technologies and critical resources. Finally, Le Maire places Franco-German cooperation at the center of the new arrangement, proposing a European debt issuance intended to finance defense, AI, semiconductors, and climate adaptation in exchange for a French commitment to reduce public debt. In his view, no isolated path is any more feasible in Europe. The challenge is to keep the nations while preserving their sovereignty, while transferring powers to a federal entity capable of confronting global challenges. BFM TV August 25, 2026. Fact check by Gemma Ford. Disneyland Paris exceeds 15 million visitors per year, but generates profits only every other year. Is it still a profitable investment in France? The Disneyland Paris park recorded over 16 million visitors last year, consolidating its role as a leader among European theme attractions. However, since its opening in 1992, the park has demonstrated concrete profits in only 13 of the 34 seasons, according to an analysis by The Guardian. Revenue reached $268 billion in 2025, with a net profit of about $271 million, equal to 10% of turnover, but interruptions linked to economic crises, terrorist attacks, the pandemic, and international conflicts have hindered the continuity of positive results. In the meantime, the new Saudi project Qiddiya, eyeing a French market share, foresees an investment of €6 billion for the construction of three entertainment parks near Sergi, Walls, Oise, including a themed park dedicated to Dragon Ball Z. The initiative, financed by the Public Investment Fund, aims to create a golden triangle of parks in the area, with Disney to the east, Asterix to the north, and the new parks to the west, as observed by Maxime Miguigny, founder of Parks and Loisirs magazine, during the BFM TV debate. The competition does not seem to reduce demand. Other large French parks have recorded significant growth. Puy du Fou recorded 3 million visitors, an increase of 7.1% in a year. Parc Astérix surpassed 2.9 million, plus 2%. Futuroscope reached 2.6 million, plus 26.8%, thanks to the opening of the Aquascope. Below the four leaders, Nigloland, the Languedoc Adventure Park, PAL and Wallaby Rhone Alpes have maintained stable attendance, despite 4.7% drops due to seasonal factors. The sector shows high margins, but is supported by continuous investments. Compagnia del Alpi, owner of Parc Astérix, recorded a turnover of €608 million in 2025 with a growth of 18.9% and highlighted that spending per visit increased by 2.3% with a frequency growth of 9.3%. Puy du Fou achieved a net profit of €32 million on €184 million turnover, equal to a 17% margin. Nigloland reached a 15% margin with revenue close to €34 million. According to Dominique Thelaud, general manager of Compagnia del Alpi, we have installed 13% new attraction capacity in 4 years, with a 35% turnover increase. Every euro invested generates a return of 1.3. Expansion strategies include not only new roller coasters and themed attractions, but also the development of accommodation facilities and catering services, key elements to increase the average visitor spend. The Italian and European panorama, according to the 2024 Zerfi Cabinet Study, shows that the top five French parks represent a quarter of the total attendance of the top 20 parks on the continent, confirming France's dominant position in the sector. BFM TV, August 26, 2026, fact check by Gemma Four. Rachel's editorial, The Paper Mache Accounting Circus. I will now read to you my editorial for today. Disneyland Paris attracts 15-16 million visitors a year, but the accounts show it more like a windmill than a gold mine. How is it possible that a park that enchants children and adults with talking mice manages to generate profits only every other year? Perhaps because the money immediately goes into new roller coasters, themed hotels, and merchandising, turning profit into an endless cycle of reinvestments. Is it truly a strong marginality, or just a euphemism for there's nothing left? Then comes the news of the new Saudi competitor, ready to spend €6 billion for three parks in Sergi. It's odd that the press says that the competition will be beneficial for tourists, as if a rain of investment were nothing more than a storm that could flood Disney's already fragile financial balance. Where is the fear that this money, coming from the sovereign fund, could turn the region into a petrocapitalism-themed park? Yet, the report cites growth figures, employment rates, and impressive margins of Astérix and Puy du Fou, while forgetting to ask, who really pays the bill? The 20,000 employees with salaries burdened by €1 billion of fixed costs, or the families that empty their wallets for souvenirs that cost more than a ticket? In an era where inflation bites harder than roller coasters, the rhetoric of rentabilité sounds more like a plastic song. In conclusion, the media narrative paints a landscape of prosperity, based on a constant race to invest, almost showing that the real attraction is the flow of money in and out, not Mickey's magic. But when the last ticket is paid, does the park still remain in the red, or is it merely a trick of lights and fireworks to make us think everything is fine? Koan of the day. A monk asked the master, if an amusement park draws millions of visitors but records profit only every other time, what is the nature of the wealth it offers? The master replied, wealth is an echo that bounces between roller coasters. Only those who listen to the silence between two screams understand the true value. The monk persisted. Then, when a new empire invests billions to build more roller coasters, does the public gain or lose its freedom of choice? The master smiled. The public chooses the journey, not the destination. Freedom is understanding that each ride is a lesson of falling and rising, and that the true reward is the smile of those who, tired, still get up. But let's return to the news. The new decree is already ready. The annual caps on medical deductibles will rise to a total of 140, will be updated each year according to inflation. The government has transmitted to the advisory commissions of the health insurance a new decree that provides for the indexing, not the doubling, of the annual caps on medical deductibles and flat rate copayments. Starting from October 1, 2026, the ceiling for medical deductibles, including those for medicines, nursing care, physiotherapy, and health transport, will be set at 70. A similar increase will be applied to flat rate copayments for medical visits, clinical biology and radiology exams, also set at 70. The maximum out-of-pocket amount for the insured will rise from 100 euros per year, an increase of 40%. The measure also establishes that, starting January 1, 2028, the caps will be revalued annually based on inflation, calculated on the annual average of consumer prices, excluding tobacco, and based on the 12 months preceding the update date. The resulting value will be rounded to the nearest whole, in case rounding does not produce an increase. The following year, the coefficient will take into account the accumulation of inflation rates over the two periods. The document does not contain savings estimates for the Social Security budget, but notes that in 2026, the projected deficit could exceed 2 billion, well above the target of 19.4 billion. After the caps were doubled in 2024, previous proposals for further increases, including those put forward by former Prime Minister François Bayrou, have been abandoned. The new indexing framework therefore represents the first concrete change to the deductible caps in over 2 years, with a direct impact on citizens' out-of-pocket spending and an adjustment procedure that will follow inflation trends. BFM Business, August 24, 2026. Fact check by Gemma Four. Welcome to the International News Bulletin from France Today and Radio Central Milan for Wednesday, August 26, 2026 on France Today, common podcasting and on medium waves at 1575 kilohertz. From Paris, this is Rachel Costa. A night of war in Gaza. Children deprived of their kites. Israeli forces have ordered the immediate suspension of any kite, drone and balloon flights near the Gaza border. The order was communicated to a mother who describes the decision as unfair and harmful to her children. Authorities warned that any launch activity towards Israeli territory will be considered a breach of security rules, thus justifying the action as protecting the population. United Airlines launches new direct connections between France and the United States. The US airline has announced the opening of direct flights from New York to Marseille and from Washington to Toulouse, with departures planned for next year. The initiative is part of a broader European expansion strategy of the carrier, which also includes seasonal routes to Marseille. The announcement was welcomed enthusiastically by businesses and tourists who benefit from faster travel times. Oil price drops as the United States focuses on economic pressure against Iran. Energy markets recorded a drop in oil prices in response to a new U.S. strategy that leverages secondary sanctions to limit Iranian exports. The government has increased trade restrictions, targeting countries that trade with Tehran, and announced further measures to block the transit of resources. sources through the Strait of Hormuz. Analysts predict that tensions will continue to influence price volatility. A U.S. judge rejects Ghislaine Maxwell's appeal. The federal court affirmed Ghislaine Maxwell's conviction, rejecting her request to overturn the sentence on procedural grounds. The decision reinforces the sanctions already imposed on Maxwell for her involvement in the Epstein case. Defense lawyers argued there was no legal basis, but the judge found the arguments insufficient. Canada imposes punitive duties on over $20 billion of U.S. goods. The Canadian government announced a series of retaliatory duties hitting U.S. products worth a total of over $20 billion. The measure is a direct response to the new tariffs imposed by the United States, which aim to protect key Canadian industries. Authorities have planned a support package of $7 billion for the sectors most affected by the countermeasures. SpaceX plans the construction of a $100 billion spaceport in Louisiana. The aerospace giant revealed plans for a new launch site in the south central region of the United States with an anticipated investment of $100 billion. The project foresees the ability to conduct over 30 missions per day by 2030, cementing SpaceX's position as a leader in the commercial spaceflight market. The announcement came amid growing competition for satellite launches. HP collaborates with Huawei for Wi-Fi technology licensing despite U.S. restrictions. The computing giant has signed an agreement with the Chinese company for the use of Wi-Fi technologies developed by Huawei, despite Huawei's presence on the U.S. export blacklist. HP stated that the partnership addresses market needs and customer demands for advanced connectivity solutions. The agreement has raised concerns in some government sectors regarding compliance with security regulations. Weather Paris, Monaco, Monte Carlo, and Milan for Wednesday, August 26, 2026. Paris, progressive heat with risk of evening showers. The morning in Paris wakes up with very cloudy sky and temperatures around 21 degrees Celsius, feeling like 25 degrees Celsius, while the wind is light, about 15 kilometers. In the afternoon, the sun becomes more intense and temperatures rise to 29 degrees Celsius, feeling like 32 degrees Celsius, with moderate winds of 10 kilometers H and gusts up to 25 kilometers H, with no precipitation in sight. Late afternoon remains warm, 27 degrees Celsius, with wind strengthening to 30 kilometers H, but without rain. The night brings a high risk of rain, with temperatures dropping to 23 degrees Celsius, winds that can reach 80 kilometers H, and a precipitation probability of 90%. In summary, the day ranges from a minimum of 20 degrees Celsius to a maximum of 29 degrees Celsius, with wind from light to very strong in the late shift. Data provided by expert Regis Crippe. Monaco, mild and clear weather throughout the day. In the morning in Monaco, the sky is partly cloudy. Temperature is 24 degrees Celsius, feeling like 25 degrees Celsius, with light winds of 10 kilometers H and no rain. In the afternoon, the situation improves. The sun peeks through the clouds. Temperature reaches 27 degrees Celsius, feeling like 33 degrees Celsius, constant winds at 10 kilometers H and no threat of rain. In the evening, conditions remain stable. Temperature 25 degrees Celsius, light winds of 10 kilometers H and sky becoming increasingly bright without risk of showers. During the night, the climate stays calm with 23 degrees Celsius, light winds of 10 kilometers H and no precipitation. The day's temperature range is between 24 degrees Celsius and 27 degrees Celsius with weak wind and predominantly clear sky. Milan, rising temperatures and variable sky. The morning in Milan is cloudy, temperature 24 degrees Celsius, feeling like 24 degrees Celsius, with light northeast winds at 2 kilometers H and no rain. The sky remains overcast or heavily overcast until mid-morning, but temperatures stay around 24 degrees Celsius and winds remain weak, under 5 kilometers H. In the afternoon, clouds thin out, with temperatures progressively rising to 29 degrees Celsius, feeling like 31-32 degrees Celsius, while the wind remains weak from southeast, around 1 kilometer, and there is no precipitation. In the evening, Milan presents a mixed sky with scattered clouds, temperature 27 degrees Celsius, light winds of 1-2 kilometers H from southwest, and no rain. At night, the air cools slightly, with temperatures ranging between 25 degrees Celsius and 26 degrees Celsius. Weak winds, about 1-3 kilometers H, and no precipitation. The day shows a thermal range from 24 degrees Celsius to 29 degrees Celsius with almost no wind and a nil rain profile. Data provided by expert Danielle Berlusconi of 3BM Meteo, Rachel's weather editorial, The Climate Everywhere, except where you want it. It's not that all the Earth's cockroaches suddenly decided to turn into threatening clouds, but people still seem to attribute every gust of wind to the grand master plan of climate change. If tomorrow it were to snow at noon in Rome, should we already pull out the 2030 umbrella, or better yet, a manifesto against global warming? But really, why must every slight temperature swing become the definitive proof that the planet is suffering more than we are? Isn't there a bit of room for good old seasonal variations without the whole world having to launch an alarm tweet? After all, if forecasts were a little more human, perhaps we could stop shouting, "It's the end of the world," at every pressure change. Cohen of the day, a monk asked, "What is the true face of time today?" Zhaozhou replied, "The sky is clear in the morning, cloudy at noon, and it rains only in the mind of those who fear." The monk retorted, "Then is time an illusion?" Zhaozhou concluded, "It is neither time nor illusion. It is simply the present that slips." And that is today's weather. Sign off. Online, on X and Mastodon, on all smart speakers and on medium wave, this is Francia Oggi with Central Milano 1575 kHz. This is all for now. From the Paris newsroom, I'm Rachel Costa. This is AM 1575 News, Francia 24, and Radio Central Milano.